It's a question of your desire. I only want to serve God. Then God will help you. Okay, this is how you can serve me. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Text 44. Sudha Goswami said, "The Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification. Mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power." Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the Lord is leaving Hastinapur for Dwarka, and Kunti is approaching him with the prayers, famous prayers by Queen Kunti. And the Lord is accepting those prayers, glorification. And here we see the picture of him with a mild smile on his face. So the first point is the Lord is personal. The devotee is personal. The devotion is also existing. And then the Lord is also person. So these three things are Nitya Yukta Upashita, eternally going on. The Mayavadis want to kill that exchange and make it all one. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya cautions us, don't hear from the Mayavadis. Don't accept that Ekalavya liberation. It's like for the Vaishnava, it's like poison. It's like suicide, spiritual suicide. Because this is really what's relishable, this rasa between the Lord and his devotees. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can have access to that rasa very easily in a kirtan. Kirtan rasa is a quick, formidable, you can say strong, angam to approach the Lord. Especially in this Kali Yuga, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Kali Doshi Nire Rajan Asti Heko Mahaguna Kirtanan Eva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Param Paramvijay. Paramvijay means the highest perfection. We can attain the highest perfection, how? Simply this Krishna Kirtan. But in order to get the result, that Kirtan has to be done without offense. So this is the attempt. Srila Prabhupada has given us all this chance to become pure chanters. Sometimes the example is given of the sky. The sky is giving every bird a chance to fly. But according to the capacity, one bird is flying higher, one is not so high. So, the simile, Krishna and Srila Prabhupada are equal to everyone. They're inviting everyone. Come, try your best. Become a pure devotee. What is the problem? Why not? So we're all trying, you know, according to our ability. But of course, that try has to be sincere. We have to be serious, these two things especially. We have to be serious, and we have to be sincere. Otherwise, if we're just half-heartedly trying it without enthusiasm, then how can we expect to be successful? Anything in this world we want to do nicely, we have to be enthusiastic. Rupa Goswami gives this as the first, utsaha, enthusiasm. Along with that enthusiasm, we have to be patient. So sometimes this appears to be contradictory, because enthusiasm... the mode of passion can be misinterpreted for enthusiasm. So it's not that kind of enthusiasm, the way one is just passionate. But enthusiasm, which is based on the understanding that I am the servant of God, and if I engage in His service, then I can be happy. So that kind of enthusiasm is wanted. And it will enable us to be patient when we don't get the result immediately. We can have the long view, long Shreyas and Prayas, the long good. Long-range good is the Shreyas that we're aspiring for. So therefore we can be patient, even though we see that we're still struggling, we still have, our chanting is not so pure, and so on, but we shouldn't lose our patience and think, oh, this Krishna consciousness doesn't work, let me try something else, let me go outside, let me give it up. No. We should have this faith that Srila Prabhupada is the bona fide representative of Krishna, he's given us the bona fide process, if we just remain patient and take it up with enthusiasm, then we can be confident. This is the third step. Confidence. Confident of what? Confident that we are going to enter into the spiritual world. Krishna promises. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vidi tatvata. Anyone who knows about me in truth, my transcendental name and activities, then is qualified to again enter into the kingdom of God. So this should be, we should be confident of this. This is not some hope against hope, like sometimes the Christians were telling us, when you die, then you'll be happy, something like that. No, this is something we can experience even now. If we're taking the process nicely, then we'll begin to get that rasa, that taste, that we're hankering for. What is it? Lord Chaitanya gives us the shikshastakam. Cheto darpana majana bhavam hadavagni nivarpanam. How we're looking for that happiness. So it's here. It's here in devotional service. But in order to experience it, we have to become devotees. So devotee means what? That we put Krishna's interest first. This is real beginning of devotion. Everyone loves himself the most. That's a fact. Here in the material world, everyone loves himself the most. Everybody can see that. Every animal, every insect, every human being, they love themselves the most. So we're coming to Krishna consciousness in that way, not pure. We have some motive. Because we love ourselves, we want to, we're curious, or we're in distress, we want to be relieved from distress, or we're seeking knowledge for ourselves, or what's the other one? We're looking for money. Four ways we come to Krishna. So all of these are impure. None of them are pure. But this is normal. We're coming with some impure motive. That's okay. But as we progress, the process is so nice that if we begin to glimpse the smile of Krishna, then we'll actually become devotees. Devotee means, again, that we care more for Krishna than we do for our own self. We have faith, just like Prahlad, when he's asked by Lord Nrisingadev, "Oh, I'll give you any benediction you want." He says, "Actually, on my own account, I don't require anything because somehow I have a little attraction for for the devotional service to you. By the mercy of Narada Muni, my spiritual master, I've got this little taste. So I don't feel anything lacking. But when I see others are suffering, please help me to help them. When I see my father is going to be going to hell because of his being inimical to you." So then Lord Nrisingha assured him that no, even your father will benefit because he's connected to you in this relationship. So that kind of determination should be there, that I'm going to go on with this Krishna consciousness, I know it's the best thing for me, and then we'll begin to get little inklings that yes, actually, it is better to serve Krishna than to serve myself. It's more relishable. It's more satisfying. Serving myself, serving even my extended self, my family, my children, or whatever, that also becomes difficult because we see that they're not perfect. We're serving our children. We see that, this kid is in Maya. This kid, you know, he's a nonsense. He's got false ego. Why should I serve his false ego? But when we serve Srila Prabhupada, wow, I was reading this memories book, so nice, of the videos that Siddhanta took, and it's in the book form. Everyone was so enlivened to serve Prabhupada. How he did, how he reciprocated with everybody in such a wonderful way that they were ready to sacrifice everything, practically. I mean, when we think back at it, it's amazing at what we did in those days. Prabhupada had us so enthusiastic to serve Krishna that we were just sacrificing everything without any consideration of what's in it for me. So that is really where the taste is at. We're hankering for that taste. That's where it's at. So we should mold our life in such a way that we come to that. This is real self-interest. Everybody's self-interested, but they don't know where their real interest is. They're digging on the wrong side. The real treasure is there, on the eastern side. This example is given. The boy has a great treasure is there. His father has left him. But we're digging on the wrong side. So if we dig on this side, so that we mold our life, so that we can come to this point. This is the Vedic system. At least it should be arranged so that at the end of life, then you can dedicate yourself fully to the service of the Lord. In the beginning, brahmachari, also you learn this process, how to dedicate yourself without concern. That brahmachari at the end of the day, he can take rest. He doesn't have to worry, oh, I have this problem, I have that problem, I have this bill to pay, that bill to pay. No, he can just take rest. This is the nice atmosphere of brahmachari ashram. And at the end, the sannyasi ashram is the same. He doesn't have to worry that he's going to be maintained. No, he's going to, Krishna will maintain him. He has that faith. And so the idea is that in brahmachari, like we learn that is really the highest taste. I so many householders I talk to, when they look back, they say, oh yeah, those days when I was a brahmachari, it was so nice. And so again, you can have that nice, even better, but you have to make your life in such a way. Don't remain stuck up in the family until you're carried away by death. Prabhupada used to criticize the politicians and so on. Gandhi, they never leave their post until they're carried away. And the same example is there with Dhritarashtra. How Vidura is chastising him. Are you going to remain living in the palace of Yudhisthira, eating the scraps from his table? Why not come out? So that was Prabhupada's also. His Guru Maharaj was coming to him in dream, telling him, come out and preach. So this is the system, one ideal Vedic system. Where is the karmi system? They have no idea what the future is, what the purpose is. And so they remain stuck up in the house, in a wheelchair, and then going to the old people's home, and being neglected by the children, because the children don't really care that much. And their future is very dark, because they don't know where they're going. But for the devotee, sometimes we hear this, I was just reading something yesterday, somebody was writing about, oh, what about Social Security, you know, how are we going to, devotees are going to have money when you're old and invalid and so on. But I really don't think that, why should that be a problem? If we're Krishna conscious, then young people will be happy to have our association. They'll maintain us. What does it take to maintain a future parties, a room somewhere? If we're, any temple, if we're really fired up about Krishna consciousness, then we'll be maintained. That's not a problem. Or if our body is so bad, this is described in the instruction for Vanaprastha. If our body is so crippled, invalid, that we can't do our religious functions, we can't get up, we can't chant Hare Krishna properly, we can't come to the temple, then the advice is given, fast. What is the difficulty? In a few weeks you'll be dead, so what? That's good, because you'll go out in a proper way, with a mood of sacrifice. And otherwise, what's the use of hanging here in the bed, you know, and spending thousands of dollars in a hospital and somebody putting intravenous food and stuff? Why do we need that? We can just stop eating, and we see that our body is no longer useful. And what is the purpose of this body? It's for serving Krishna, for Dharma, for executing Dharma. If the body is no longer can do that, then this solves the old age problem. Otherwise, when your body is still good, then you'll be welcome in any temple. That's my problem. I mean, people may not accept that. They'll say, oh no, we have to, who will take care of us and so on. But I don't think that should be a problem. If we have a little faith, if our faith is strong, the temples will be happy to have it. I remember seeing in the Gaudiya Mass, sometimes we were visiting, you know, in the 70s, 80s, I was in India, and the old sadhus are there. Prabhupada's godbrothers, you know, they weren't very prominent, but the temple's happy to have them there, because they have so much history and so much practical experience, and the young brahmacharis are coming, so they're happy to, you know, serve them and bring them. They're not living lavishly. They have a small room somewhere. They're not taking up a big expenditure, but they're being kept. Why? Because they're valuable. They can tell stories about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and so on. So why do we can have the same faith and not be so in anxiety? Oh, who will take care of me now? I'm getting old and I can't go out and sell T-shirts anymore. What's going to happen? We don't have to worry about that. Yeah. My phone? That's all right, the machine's there. Okay. So have faith, take this process, and you'll see Krishna smile. He's offering it. He's smiling for his devotee. He's giving his smile. The sum total of all mystic power is in that smile. We see that smile. Then there's Maya, the glare of Maya, the allurement of Maya, will no longer have any attraction for us. Prabhupada's making that point, that the karmis are also under the mystic power of Krishna. What is that mystic power? The opposite sex. Man is thinking, oh, look at how beautiful the woman is. Woman is thinking, oh, how handsome this man is with his long arms. If he puts his arms around me, then I'll be safe. Woman is thinking like that. She's also in anxiety. You can imagine a woman's body, they need to shelter. And so they're always in anxiety, thinking, well, who will give me protection? Who will be my hero? What knight on the white horse to come and... Isn't this psychology? So this is a mystic thing, how it is. The hippopotamus is also attracted to the hippopotami. How the Maya is working, it's like a mystic power. And keeping these living entities bewildered by the opposite sex. Isn't it? Isn't that the whole attraction out there? What about you, Krishna? Of course, you're not attracted by this. He's brahmachari, so he's not. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Bhagavatam Ki.
Says his eyebrows are like a bow.
Hmm?
Cupid's bow. In the Bharata Rupa, it explains that the Maya is the smile of Krishna.
Uh-huh.
So the same smile which attracts the devotee to Krishna in the service is the same smile that keeps, that is Maya.
Bewilders. Yeah. But here, Prabhupada is saying the word Maya can be mercy or bondage. So here she's used in the form of mercy. Yeah, that therefore it's not like that. We don't become fanatics like the Christians that they hate the devil. We don't hate Maya. Maya's doing her
Maya's
job.
Maya's the devotee's servant.
Yeah.
She's helping you to remember Krishna.
That's right.
Yeah, but who is Kali though? Is Kali hateable? Is Kali a servant?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that this will give us the clear picture that you see how it starts from the best and progresses worse.
Yeah.
So that we can see. It's not going to get better. The whole illusion here is, everything, the economy is going to be better,
yeah,
and we're going to make more money. Then we'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really happy, but the illusion is, it's going to be better. So Kali is coming. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. So don't put your hope here. So in that way, he's doing a service. Why not?
It's going to be a long winter, Kali. Long winter.
Yeah.
Don't stick around and wait for the spring.
And the spring will come when Kalki brings in the new Satya Yuga.
No opportunity for preaching.
So let's finish up our business.
I think Amarindra used to call it argumentative botulism, right? Isn't that it?
Stick.
Kalki comes. Argumentative botulism. Just chop off their heads.
You have a
question?
Seems
like a question. Catch 22. Krishna says that he can only be pleased if we please the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And we are warned that serving our body and the extension of our body, which is family, and extension of that, which is community, and extension of that, which is nation, and all that. But if you have a family of devotees, and a community of devotees, and a nation of devotees,
yeah, that's a nice
how
thing.
Can you serve them without being caught up in the serving of the bodily extension and still, please Krishna by serving the devotee?
Well, because you won't be exclusively serving them. You'll be serving all the Vaishnavas, and including your children, if they're also Vaishnav, and your wife. Then that will be counted as devotional service. We never preach that, the woman should think, I don't care for my children because they're my children. No, that's her duty is to take care of her children.
Mm-hmm.
So your duty is also to maintain your family. But my point is that, we should be looking
for the goal. Keep the goal in mind, right, and consideration for the
kids. Otherwise, the karmis think that this is the goal,
mm-hmm,
to maintain a nice family.
That's the purpose of having a Varnashram system, yeah, is that people's desires can be dovetailed and just gradually approach the goal.
Yeah. And that's why Grihastha Ashram is there, to give people that.
It's just in Kali Yuga our lives are so short.
Yeah, but the other side, the dispensation is so great, this Krishna Kirtan.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, it can be. One can quickly get a taste and see that this is better than sex life. Otherwise, even Vishwamitra Muni was meditating for how many thousands of years, but still but Haridas Thakura wasn't allured by the beautiful feature of feminine attraction. So otherwise, the demigods are aspiring to take birth in the Kali Yuga. And at this time, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is there.
Marge, where did you get your Christian Balinese?
Krishna culture.
Beautiful.
Well, they're not really painted up nicely.
Still, it's nice. Haladar looks so proud. Yes, plow.
Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah,